I'll bet we celebrate together.
Last week, we studied Gemini. And we found out that they're not...
His is better anyway.
Gemini, in the original star maps, weren't twins. They were a man and a woman. And it's Christ and his bride in Gemini. It's the first time in the star maps that Christ and his bride have been seen together.
And where on here are we?
We're in Gemini.
Where's that?
You find Gemini?
Between Taurus and Cancer.
Do you find Taurus? Do you find Aquarius? Can you find any of the 12 signs?
Between Cancer and Taurus.
Can you read the legend in the...
Legend.
Is it up straight, the legend?
No, he's found it. He's just busting.
In that case, turn it around. Oh, okay.
He's busting it. The first... Pete, what are you going to hold his hand?
Oh, that helps a lot. It really does.
The first sub-sign, or decon... See, I need to have somebody here besides Chiz that I pick on all the time.
That's what I was here for.
You pick up?
I went back to Cop Possum Kingdom when the three of us went and took the kids and wife. And
okay.
They're even more dear.
Let's look on the star map and see if you can find Lepus, L-E-P-U-S.
Little
goat looking
thing
at
the bottom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of the river
that
doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody find Lepus or Lepus?
Yes. Or the Eridanus void.
What the hell is it?
Lepus. It's supposed to be a rabbit. I mean, that's what it's meant to be in the star map. But in the original star maps, it was something else in the original star maps, but when the Greeks got a hold of it, they had this legend about Orion, that Orion's favorite activity that was hunting rabbits.
So he's got the club.
And so they changed the figure from to a rabbit in honor of Orion. But it was originally...
Did it have anything to do with the goddess of fertility?
No.
Rabbits?
No.
Mr. Bunnies and things?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that.
It was originally a rabbit butt.
And the original star maps and the ones that still are extant and were extant in the planispheres in Persia and in Egypt, it's a snake. And the claws of a hawk or an eagle.
Well, eagles are there no circle.
Well, there's no way you could tell in the star map whether it was a hawk or an eagle, but it was a bird of prey, obviously. Now look, if you see, look at Orion, his left foot is about to stomp down on the head of the rabbit here, but it's actually just about to crush the head of the serpent. But stop. We've already seen the serpent defeated all over the place. So what's this one about? I want to show you that the serpent is defeated. Or the Satan is defeated.
God's working behind the scenes.
No.
There's no need for him to do it.
No.
Oh, well.
Don't guess unless you have a reasonable guess.
I'm out to ascertain that. If I'm,
Go to John 12. In your little Bibles or your little machines, whatever you have.
that about the internet 10 years ago.
Do you notice that whenever Burnett is here, he just sits over there and mumbles? Did you notice that, Pete?
John or First John?
Yeah.
If I'd have meant First John, I would have said First John.
John 12.
John 12. There's no 12th chapter in First John.
You need a Snickers.
You need a Snickers?
Everybody else knows what that means except you.
I don't know what it means.
It satisfies.
It satisfies it, you know, when you get all pissed about it, you get a Snickers and it kind of straightens you out. It's just a commercial.
How long is it going to take you to find John? I thought you were a Bible scholar.
I am. I've been at the books around it. Because this has the tabs on it.
Does anybody know any songs you could sing while we're waiting for him to find John 12?
Michael Rowe?
No, never mind. I was kidding.
All over you?
Cheers.
Does anybody know any songs? Can anybody sing in addition to knowing the song?
All right, John 12. This is just before Christ's crucifixion.
One verse.
Verse 30. Verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto the world. came I unto this hour. Now, what as Son of Man, he was honest. And he said, Father, my soul is troubled. As Son of God, he said, what shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I unto this hour. For this I came unto this hour. And that's the same thing that you've got to start saying. If your soul is troubled, you confess it. But then by repentance, you understand that you don't try to get out of it. For that hour, you came into the world. You understand? Mm-hmm. Without suffering, there's no reigning. And the only time you want to get out of something is when you think you're suffering. Or when you think somebody's picking on you.
I love being here.
All right. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. When was the first time he glorified his name?
Baptism.
The baptism.
No.
No.
Baptism was the beginning. He glorified his name when he was transfigured. That was the end of his temptation. He didn't have to leave. He was glorified because time, not only time and space, but all natural law lost its hold on him. Amen?
And everybody saw it?
What?
And everybody saw it.
And transfigured? No, only three people saw it.
Yeah, the main three people saw it.
But everybody didn't see it.
The guys that were with him, the two guys.
All right.
Who were the two guys, by the way?
Three.
Three guys.
Peter, James, and John.
John, Peter, John, James.
All right. Father, glorify thy name. Then came the voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What glorify means, what does glorify mean? Anybody know? That's just a religious term. What does glorify mean? We'll see how long that lasts. Means to clarify, make perfectly clear. Clarify thy name. I have both clarified it and will clarify it again. He clarified it when he ascended in the transfiguration, and he clarifies it again when he rises from the dead, but that's not the full clarification. The full clarification is when he ascended to the Father. There's no doubt. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world, this world, be cast out. So the prince of this world was cast out when Jesus was crucified. Jesus defeated the prince of this world, the god of this world. That's a screwy light bulb that's popping. One of the.
Can you pay attention to what you're teaching about?
Yeah. Can you stay on point, please?
A screwy light bulb up there that I. That's why I asked you about that other one, because it's going to pop again.
Well, it's one of those.
So now, so do you understand? Now shall the prince. Now is the prince of the world cast out. All right. Now let's go to John 16.
I'm sure he's going to ask.
Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come... When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Comfort being the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Yeah, the Paraclete.
You're awful snarky this evening.
What?
Snarky.
I said you're awful snarky.
He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because you do wrong. Of righteousness because you follow the rules. And of judgment because you have to judge people that you think are doing wrong. Is that what it says?
No.
No. It says he will convict, or the actual better translation for the reprove there is convict. I will convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. That's the only conviction. It's never about what you do or don't do. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because you follow the rules? No. Of righteousness because the only righteousness is that he went to the Father. There is no other righteousness possible. And until you go to the Father visibly, you can never be right. And of judgment. Because I see people doing wrong? No. Of judgment, the only judgment is that the prince of the world has been judged. You understand? So all the interfering that we do in people's lives, all of the, is that person saved? It's all just garbage. It's none of our business. But then that's not what we're going to study. That's just an aside. No, it's not. Of judgment because the prince of the world is judged and condemned. He was cast out. All right, now let's go to Matt. No, let's go. Yeah, let's go to Matthew 12. Remember, we're talking about, in case some of you have a little bit of problem in that area, we're talking about how that the prince of this world has already been judged, and the signs, he's already been defeated, and so why is the serpent here again. All right, Matthew 25. No, it's not Matthew 25. I knew it wasn't. Matthew 12.
Why are we going to 25? Say 12. That's what I was questioning earlier.
Matthew 12. You find it?
One verse.
starting verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? And that was the key to be the Pharisee. That's who the Messiah was. The people said, is not this the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils by
Beelzebub.
By Beelzebub, the prince. I didn't read that right. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. The point is, he says this incredible thing here. He said, I can't do anything with regard to Satan's houses until I cast out and defeat Satan. Now, so you got to hear this. Satan was defeated at the cross, and all people that are running around being afraid of Satan are fools. But then who wasn't defeated at the cross? Your mind, which is the snake, which is Beelzebub. And so he had to defeat Satan before he could cast out, before he could defeat Satan in you. Does that make sense? That's what this parable means. And I've never heard it taught that way, by the way. But anyway. So here we go. Here now we have a hint as to why, while we're seeing in the constellation the bride and the groom seated in the heavenlies with their feet on the Milky Way, we still see Satan. We still see the serpent. Because even though you're seated with him in the heavenly places, you're still being plagued by your mind. And so this is about Christ's defeat of this thing.
So am I to be electrocuted?
Well, I'll make sure I touch you.
It's not like that one, is it?
Sure is.
The other one's a green.
May I see it, please?
Yes.
That's one of those, yeah, that's bright. That's one of those new greeny lights.
I've never seen a light bulb do that, or heard a light bulb do that.
Yeah,
well, it's trying to go out. It's trying to buzz.
Oh, this one is no good either.
It's all right. It's plenty of light.
We got enough light right now.
Yeah. Where's the other one? Where's the light bulb?
Made in China.
This is really important. I hope you understand it. All right, let's go to...
It shows that we as believers are still plagued by thoughts and...
Well, it shows that stupid believers are still plagued by their thoughts.
Okay. Right.
Let's go to Acts 26:18.
Acts 26:18.
What?
Oh, I said I agree with that.
Well, that's big of you.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
amen to
that.
This is why Saul's conversion is so incredible. And what we're going to see right now. Starting in verse 12. And he's speaking before King Agrippa. And he's telling them that what he was before he was a believer, persecuting everybody, of the Christians, and slaying them and wasting them. And then he said in verse 12, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," or better translated, it's become difficult for you to resist the divine impulse. And they said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Now, you got to hear that, the way that's phrased. It's extremely important.
What verse is this again?
Right now we're in verse 16.
What chapter are we in? 26.
"But rise and stand upon thy feet," Jesus is speaking, "for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen," just then, the things that he had seen, which was Christ speaking, "and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Not that I used to be bad and I know I'm good, but only of those things in which Christ appears unto you." Do you understand the difference? You're not a witness of anything other than the things in which Christ has appeared unto you. That's why you should shut up your mouth until the things have been wrought in you. I'm determined to speak of nothing that hasn't been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. And this is critical. You understand why? Because it's tinkling brass.
Clanking cymbals.
All right, but that's not what we're talking about. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Now this is the critical thing. "To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and to convert them and accept me as their personal Savior."
No.
It says, "to turn them from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance." The only way you turn someone from the power of Satan unto God is to know that you have always been a vessel for deity. You have never been you. Not once. You have always been a vessel for the instead of Christ. Or as Jesus called you, a son of Satan.
And he acknowledges that power of Satan.
So you have always been that. And his only purpose, Paul's only purpose, my only purpose, your only purpose, is to turn someone from that power to the power of God. Now, how do you do that? There's only one way. By showing forth the futility and emptiness of all human effort. Not from trying to sell them on some crap that God's going to make your life better. He certainly didn't make my life better. I was fat and happy and rich. You understand how important this is? So Satan is already defeated, but the people have to be turned from Satan unto God. And the only way to do that, not as I'm second, not having billboards I'm second, having billboards saying I am dead, having billboards saying all your piddling, stupid human effort is as vain as the puff of smoke. All your plans and ambitions and ideas are absolutely worthless. All your hopes and dreams are meaningless. Does anybody understand that?
Yes, how come you know only you jack around? I know you jack around. To me, when you say something to him, he smiles, and I think only you can't insult the dead man. You can say something to me, but...
I'm going to make more effort with you then.
But make me
effort. I know you may.
Shoot me. Then you have to say, shoot me.
You have to try a
anyhow, that, so here's another example. It's not to defeat Satan by the power of blah, blah, blah. It's to turn the people from Satan, the evil one, to God. The only way you can do that is by proclaiming the emptiness and futility of all human effort and showing it in how you live.
Amen. No.
It's not your words, it's your life that changes people.
Hell yes.
Nobody gives a rat's ass about somebody's words. Amen.
Amen.
So all passage right. Only in 1 John, my little children, love not the word. Remember we shared today? You're right. You become what you profess. Otherwise, it's just vain, empty words.
Okay, now let's go one more. 2 Corinthians 4:4.
2 Corinthians.
Better off than a rock band.
Second Corinthians 4, period.
That's powerful, man.
Verse 1. Seeing therefore we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And faint in the scriptures always means that you quit in your mind. You go into a vegetative state. You quit in your mind, or else you return to cause and effect. Or you try to figure it out instead of waiting on God. This is the, if you don't wait on him, you will never know that he is in you. And so your religion will just be a philosophy. And you know how I love philosophy. But it's all right to admit you don't know that he's in you, but we're called finally to say, examine yourself, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not your own selves. And he repeats it 3 times in one verse. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, reprobate is a technical term in the law, and it means one incapable of repentance. You cannot repent if you don't know there's another deity in you, because this is your God. If you don't know that, the only way you will know it, it's not from preaching it, not trying to figure it out with your mind. That's trying to gain that which is blessed by this thing which is cursed. The only way you know it is by waiting on him. Amen? All right, so here we go. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, the word deceitfully there means you add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. That's what deceitfully here means.
What verse are we in?
2.
Verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, now we're in verse 2. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, God can't permit that. He can't permit the glorious light of the gospel to shine onto those that are still alive. They'll try to work it up with soul power. They'll try to use praise to get his presence. They'll try to do everything. They'll try groupthink, group speak. But if you analyze it, it always takes a crowd.
Sweat lodge.
It always takes a crowd to have praise. Well, how can that be true? It's not true if you need a crowd. That's a Benny Hinn trick. If you can't, the only way you can praise him, other than using sorcery, is you're seated on the mercy seat. If you don't know you're seated on that mercy seat, you can't praise him. How can you? You can't sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. And we are strangers in this strange land. As long as you think the earth is your home, you can't praise him anymore, other than just any more than you use some other cheerleader to go to a prep rally. Understand?
Amen.
What? You're doing something.
No, I understand.
All right.
I'm not doing something. I feel like I've been hitting a baseball bat.
Praise God.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, Satan's defeated, but not his minions, not the minds of man, because man has always, even though he's defeated, man has always been, the mind has always been the instrument of the Antichrist.
What he's talking about, he said the God of this world
is right
up here.
You understand?
And on 2 Thessalonians, it speaks.
That's where we're going to go to next, your mind reader.
Well, can you press on through 7 through 15?
Well, it says the same thing. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. See, this is where you get confused, even in this fellowship. People think that they have to die to self. That's stupid. You're already dead. You died 2,000 years ago on the cross. You only bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So therefore you think, well, this suffering is happening to me. No, it's not. It has nothing to do with you. You're dead. You never existed.
Yeah.
And until you know that, your life is going to be, it's just going to be a joke. You can call yourself a Christian from here to eternity, and it'll be as meaningless as saying that Rock is a Christian. There's only one that's called a Christian, and that's Christ. Unless he is your life and you are dead, you can't call yourself a, in fact, every one of the people in the first century, it would have been taking the name of the Lord in vain to call yourself a Christian. They called themselves Nazarenes. And wait till we see that in the next sign, what that really means. But anyway, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction was but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Never, never do you judge by outward appearance. We look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, time dependent, the things that are not seen, eternal. And anything that's time dependent isn't worth giving one breath to, one single iota of importance to. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll wait for Mr. Burnett. Anybody have any thoughts, comments about anything we've studied thus far? Remember, we haven't even started on the sign yet. This is the remedial sign stuff.
Actually, I was thinking about Hercules, who fought against the son of the earth. I think his name was, they held him up in the air to strangle him. I was wondering if that had anything to do with Jesus having to be hoisted off of the earth.
There's a whole series of tapes down there on the stars, on the 12 labors of Hercules. Okay. That's how they're a type of Christ. But I'm not gonna.
It's okay. That was what was running through my mind.
Just going back to 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
And what was Paul's light affliction? He was stoned 3 times. It was a massive shipwreck. Was bitten by a poisonous snake. He had an eye disease that made him just the personification of ugly, that was just rotting one of his eyes out.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Huh?
Yeah.
Light affliction.
Yep. Which is but for a moment. Mm-hmm. Worketh for us.
What are you thinking, Nick?
Far more exceeding, still waiting for.
No, you know, it's just, you know, when you're exposed to the things of God, and you, I for lack of a better word, you find yourself obsessing over just wanting more and more and more, and the mystery has no bottom. But it is a moment-by-moment pursuit. I know for me, since December 30th, it's not like, you know, I'll read Bible this. I read Bible this morning. I used to think, okay, I read Bible this morning, go home, eat, watch TV, word of prayer. And now, you know, you find yourself driven to the Word of God, driven to meditate on the Word.
Amen.
Absolutely consumed.
All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, or it's parousia, which means either coming or presence, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by some letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, right again, you've got to say, unless I can prove to you the day of Christ is at hand, then you better run from me. Because I'm telling you the day of Christ is at hand. So this is kind of interesting. Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you the day of Christ, the day, we've been in the night of Christ, the night of the Sabbath for 2,000 years. I'm telling you the day of Christ may happen at the next breath. And they're saying that you not be shaken in mind or troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Well, that's pretty interesting. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I'm telling you that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed, and it's you. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So he sitteth as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Everybody else thinks he's a fool, but he shows himself he's God because he judges for himself good and evil. Now, if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong about everything. So the one that opposeth the son of perdition, a man of sin, has been exposed. I remember the first time I saw this, it was within days after I became a believer, 1972. I wouldn't tell anybody for a long time, for not a long time, a couple of years probably. That's a long time.
Yeah, it was a little while.
But only this is the revelation Daniel had in 7.
That is a long time.
We have to work it out and be experienced.
No, that's not why I worked it. I didn't work it out. I was afraid.
Why?
It's like getting a 10-second warning on a nuclear explosion.
All right.
Or a fault or sitting on top.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Now remember, this is the basis upon which all these dispensationalists have raised $8, $10, $20 billion to rebuild the temple. It's the basis upon which all the dispensationalists have these fancy charts telling you when the end is going to come and who's going to Gog and Magog and
the yo-yo theory.
It's so unbelievable to me that anybody believes that comic book theology. I can't even stand it when I hear one of these guys preach. They're bringing into bondage a whole generation of people. But the question is, what do you believe? I don't care about what they're doing right now. Do you believe you're the man of sin, the son of perdition? Do you believe that you are the instead of Christ? Do you believe that your number is 666? Do you believe that is written on your forehead? Written on your forehead is always, if you look through the Bible, it's always a sign for how you think. 666, it's just you, your whole stupid little mind trying to reach 7 at rest. You haven't been at rest your whole life. But it never stops trying to be at rest. And it can't be. So it's 666666 ad infinitum. No matter what you do, no matter what you get, no matter where you go, you cannot be at rest. Anybody believe me?
Yeah.
And the number and the name is written on your right hand. Because what your right hand does is what you think. So it had to be, always the parable. What your right hand does is what you think. The same snake that was in the Bible, that talked to Adam and Eve. It's the same snake that was at Jesus' temptation. It wasn't some man dressed in a suit. It was his mind, his son of man, that was tempting him, just like it does you. That's why to give any importance whatsoever to what your mind or your emotions are is abject, meaningless garbage. I don't care who you are.
Nothing.
I thought you were going to give me something important. All right.
The only thing I would say is that once you see this and you labor in it, and it's so freeing that you can enter into the rest, and it's there. You got nothing else to prove. You got nothing to do.
It makes it easier.
Yeah, it makes it easy. Life real simple. It makes it so much easier to try to get it right. And it's so freeing.
Okay, let's go to 1 John 4, and we'll quit. Because I don't feel like talking anymore.
First John,
chapter 4.
What verse?
Whenever I don't give a verse, it's always verse 1. No, I just want saying that for future reference. You'll tomorrow, the next time we meet, you'll still ask me what verse, and I'll make fun of you for it. Okay.
Whenever he does give a verse, he always backs up at least three verses. So yeah. Let's go back three verses and go from there.
No. Let's go back to two chapters.
Yeah. Well, no.
First book in order.
That's the way it is tonight.
Are you done having all your fun?
The peanut gallery is silent. We're waiting upon you.
Tom is so proud of himself, he just can't hardly stand.
He's bubbling.
He's just filled with,
just
look at me.
I just tickle the hell out of myself, that's all.
Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, what's a spirit? A spirit, what?
I'm sorry.
A spirit, hear me. This is the only way to define a spirit, it's something without a body. You understand that? It's an incorporeal communicator. So every single thought that you have is a spirit because there's no body. You got it? Every word has no body. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So listen. Okay. This is, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, you got to hear this. Every other Bible translation that I'm aware of, except King James, has in it the same translation of this. It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God. Well, I promise you, demons will confess he came in the flesh. And the Antichrist confesses he will come in the flesh. But it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is now come in your flesh. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And this, there's not a thought that you can have that can stand against he is come in the flesh, if you understand who he is.
Yeah, that's heavy.
He is finished. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. You own all things. Everything in the universe exists for your sake. How can you possibly think you can't. Your mind cannot comprehend it. And your mind will never confess it. Therefore, your thoughts cannot confess he is the Christ. He is come in the flesh. Do you understand me? You can convince yourself because you can tell it to. But this is what it means to take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's the only way that you overcome. That's the only way Orion steps on the head of the serpent in this sign. Amen?
Yeah.
I never heard it preached like that, but it immediately has a ring of power and truth. But yeah, that's what, like you said, I would have confessed it like I was taught.
He did come.
He did come.
And he will come.
And he will come. But he is coming in the flesh right now. And we're in the New Jerusalem right now.
Amen.
Amen.
He is come.
That's fantastic.
That's a big deal.
It didn't get any bigger.
No, it doesn't get bigger than that, man.
The
rubies in the can.
Well, we'll start in Lepus next week. No, we won't either. I'll be gone. John Rutledge is going to teach next Wednesday. And I don't know what he's going to teach on. But he's heard the star, so he probably will teach. And he knows a lot of stuff. He spends a lot more time studying than I do. So he's a good man. Huh? He's a lot nicer than I am.
Always laid back.
He's the antithesis.
Bring a bottle of wine. He's a wine member. He'll
All right, so, again, hear me. Unless I hear a total of 10 people coming to Purim on Saturday, we're going to meet with one of the other two groups. I don't know which one. Okay? But we're for sure starting our own Seder on Passover, which is in about a month. Okay?
Meet at 2.
All right, then, my brother.
Be a note on
everybody come here at 2.
Read the readings.
And that's when they do the Purim readings.